This is Joy in the Weeds. I'm Beth.
And I'm Kim.
We are so glad you have joined us as we have conversations exploring the dichotomy of struggle and joy.
Welcome to the new year.
Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year.
Here we are, 2021. Can you believe it? And I think 2020 lasted about a decade.
It was certainly epic.
Epic. Epic.
It was memorable.
A four-letter word does not even describe.
No, 2020.
What it was like.
2020 goes down in the books.
Yeah. Well, no.
We'll never forget.
We will. That is very true.
We will never forget.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, not only is it this interesting number, right, of 2020, like.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know. Uh-huh. None of us have been alive for such a year. Like
right.
1919, we weren't alive.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So 2020 is pretty, you know, I mean, not only is it that, but wow. Wow.
Definitely wow.
Yeah.
Like so much.
And not only that, we started a podcast in 2020.
And we
that's
did.
That's a good.
That is a,
that
good,
is a
thing.
Good moment.
That is true.
Yeah, a really yeah. good thing.
Yeah, we're coming up to our anniversary.
We are.
Yay.
Just a couple weeks from yeah. when
from
this airs.
When this yeah. airs, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that.
So we had a conversation, you and I, about how to figure out how we could start the year off well regarding our podcast.
Right.
And we came up with an idea. What was that idea? I'm going to let you share it.
Well, we've been asking every one of our guests when they come on to answer the question, what does it mean to you to be a godly woman?
Right.
And we just want to talk about being a godly woman. To all the men who are listening, all five of you.
My husband and yours and maybe a couple others, right?
Maybe. I'm being generous with that number. No, there are men who are listening. But don't turn it off. You know, I think it's, listen, there are women in your life.
Right, exactly.
End of story. There are women in your life. And I think hearing this and listening to this can still be beneficial for you as well. So, don't turn it off. But but there's no question. We have more women listening. And anyway, it's been interesting to hear from the different women
mm-hmm.
this past
mm-hmm.
year
yep.
that have been on our podcast and what their view of that is. And anyway, now we're going to talk a little bit about it too, the two of us.
Yeah.
So Kim, if I were to ask you that, if you had to be like one of the guests and just give a little,
wow.
like one sentence, what does it mean to you to, you know, to be a godly woman?
I think faithfulness is probably what comes to mind.
Mm.
Living a life of faithfulness, and that's like that faith is not. Like, that's not a simple concept.
No.
Because faithfulness requires, not requires, I hate that word. There's just a lot in it. Like, Jesus is my man, and I'm going to stand by his side kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what I think of. Hmm. And whatever that means. Mm. One of the ways that it means is where at the time of this recording, we just had the election. Mm-hmm. And leading up to the election and even, you know, the stress after, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, doesn't matter. Mm. Like, I really, whoever wins, I mean, before we knew who won, like, well, whoever wins, okay. And the tension now, okay, because they aren't in charge. They're not. God is in charge. So there's no anxiety in that. Because God's in charge, and he's got my back, and when I stand beside him, that's life. Okay, you're looking at me with this look. So let's now turn the, I'm going to put the spotlight on you.
What's the look? I don't know.
I don't know. You're just like, it's like you're thinking about what I'm saying. But
I am thinking about what you're saying.
Let's put the spotlight on you. What does it mean to you to be a godly woman? It's so much easier to ask the questions than answer them.
It is easier to ask than to answer. Well, I guess for it definitely has something to do with joy. Not because we're on a podcast called Joy in the Weeds, contrary to what people might think. But I do really believe that being a godly woman, there is a sense of security and joy that can come with understanding we are part of a much bigger picture and no matter my circumstances, no matter what happens, no matter how awful it is, and it might be awful, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not
right.
not
yes,
ignoring
exactly.
the
right.
awful,
right.
but no matter the awful, that, you know, he'll be with me and I can walk through, you know, or sit in or go through no matter the pain or the struggle because I'm in relationship with him.
Yeah.
And so to be a godly woman is to be in relationship with him
right.
and have this sense
right.
of peace, but it's not just peace. It goes beyond that because and that's why I say it goes to joy. Like there is, we can exude a joyfulness that the rest of the world cannot exude all the time because they don't have that.
That's right.
So that's what I think.
My name is Joanne Langevin. And what I think, what it means to be a godly woman is really just a woman that has an open heart that will just love you where you are.
I'm Tammy Bond. And what it means to me to be a godly woman is to reflect God's glory so greatly that other people need sunglasses.
So, we each have heroes in the Bible that are women.
Yeah, we want to go through some of these women.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, who... Sorry, I just had a terrible thought. I was about to ask, who are the godly women in the Bible? And my head went immediately to Jezebel, who was not a godly woman, but like, because I was thinking, are there non-godly women in the Bible? Mm. And then, so that brought me to, sorry, my brain just went on this
you went all the
rabbit trail, because that's what my brain does.
Very quickly, in a matter of moments,
just like
seconds,
that.
You went miles.
It's right. So who are some of the women that come to mind?
All right. Well, I'm going to give you my favorite. We'll start with my favorite.
Okay.
And it's always been Esther, mostly because my first name is Esther. So as a little girl, that was, you know, instant connection with her. It's ironic to me, though, that I choose Esther.
Okay.
Because Esther is in a book that never once mentions God.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. So it's almost a godless, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You could argue it is a book in the Bible that is, because it never mentions him. But
and
we
yet his hand
and yet,
is
and yet
through it all,
which is really, in my opinion, makes the story really fascinating and interesting.
Yeah.
And in fact, it wasn't until relatively recently that I learned that God is never mentioned.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it wasn't like anyway. Huh. But I, but Esther.
So, what is it about Esther that you love?
Boldness and she's bold and she's courageous and those and I guess honestly. You all know me. I've often been accused of being too much.
Mm.
And so, you know, the sort of quiet, you know, and we're going to talk about some of those women, because that's also a beautiful thing, right? Mm-hmm. And Esther wasn't necessarily, like, we're going to talk about some other women that are mm-hmm. like crazy warrior types.
Yes.
And that wasn't her. She had obviously she did what she did in a very, elegant way. Let me put it that way. She had a banquet. I mean, come on. Yeah. Like, you know, she, she was very much a woman, but she was very bold and very courageous and very strong. And yet she's so young and so outside of her element. It's not like she was born and bred and grew up knowing her purpose, like she wasn't born into this. She was just a young girl living with her.
So it's almost cousin. Like she knew, she used what she knew to achieve a greater thing. Like she didn't, I mean, she knew the rules.
Yes, and then some.
And right.
Like she found, she had to find in herself a strength and a boldness she didn't even know existed.
Right, because when you start the story, she's like, I ain't doing that.
No.
Because I'm going to get killed.
Yeah.
And then and then she realized, no, for such a time as this.
Right.
And, you know, and sometimes God does that to us. Mm-hmm. We say, no, like what? I'm going to get hurt. And then God speaks to us. And then we go, okay, you're right. Mm-hmm. And then that's where the courage comes from.
She also
is the obedience.
Right. She also, you know, starts off just being this young, right, this young woman, mm-hmm. simple, you might, you mm-hmm. know, simple, mm-hmm. unassuming young mm-hmm. woman mm-hmm. who hasn't had a peachy life mm-hmm. up to that
point. Right, she lost both her parents.
Right, lost both her parents. And and so she's kind of, and then she becomes queen. She stepped into that role. Like, she leaned into mm-hmm. that role. Like, mm-hmm. she accepted that position that she'd been put in mm-hmm. and said, okay, I'm going to also use mm-hmm. this position that I've been put in. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I think that's, you know, that's using what God has given you, what God has blessed you with, mm-hmm. and understanding in this time, mm-hmm. I've been asked to do this, and I don't need to shy away from that. I need mm-hmm. to step up and mm-hmm. do it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of being a godly woman, you know?
Mm-hmm. And accepting what she need, like saying, yes, this is what I need to do. There was an interim before she did it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that interim, I think is where the power came from.
Mm.
Because she spent 3 days in fasting and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, yes, Lord, basically is what she said. Yes, Lord.
That's right.
Then she spent the time mm-hmm. in fasting and prayer, mm-hmm. where probably the plan developed in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then she executed that.
Mm-hmm.
And the wisdom that she had
in
having the banquet.
Relational.
Yes, and then not IQ. Asking for what she wanted then.
No.
Because wisely she knew, no, we need to do, I need this again. And then she invites them back.
How important for us as women. You know, some of us would say that's manipulative.
Well, it's also wisdom.
It's wisdom, but that's my point. Like sometimes we need to, instead of putting a negative, you know, the negative connotation on that, understanding to be wise is not always to just speak or demand or ask for or, you know, but it is, you know, to lead up to that, to be willing to wait. And I love what you said about the, you know, she said, yes, okay, I'm willing. And then she took that time, you know, okay.
Right.
But now let me sit and have some time of prayer.
Right.
And then I'm going to invite them, and I'm going to still wait.
Right. Yes, exactly.
And I'm still going to wait. I'm going to wait. I'm going to have patience. That's so, but that's wisdom.
Yeah.
And that comes from being a godly woman.
Yeah. 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 But, and I'm just going to reflect back on what you said about God, the name God is never mentioned in that book. Mm. And all I can think of is the time that we are in now. Where it seems that God is not present, and yet his hand is moving.
Yeah.
Just as it did in the book of Esther. It may appear that God is not here. Mm-hmm. His name is not being spoken, and he is ever present. And that means the deliverance is coming soon.
And I have to just mention, at the risk of being misunderstood, but I feel like it's really important. It is a woman who makes a huge difference in the history of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And no one else could have done what she did.
Right.
It's not because there wasn't a man who stepped up to do what needed to be done.
Right.
God needed her.
Right. Yes.
Her.
Yes.
H-E-R.
Yes. Yes.
And no one else could do it but her.
Right.
And I guess as a woman in this time where it often feels like it's just a dark time.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look, God may be calling you to step up and help out. And it, for this moment, in a way that only you can do. Mm-hmm. Only you can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. If that's the case, listen. Listen.
Yeah.
And be willing.
Hi, my name is Mary Beth Hagen. And I think what it means to be a godly woman is to live your life with passion and make your world a better place, and however you can do that.
My name is Halcyon McKnight. And for me, a godly woman is someone who follows, someone who listens, someone who gives of themselves when it's impossible to give of themselves. Someone who understands, and someone who feels for those who are unable to feel for themselves. I enjoy being that person, and I pray and hope that you can be that person too.
All right, Kim, your favorite.
Ruth has been my favorite from the time, I don't even remember, forever. I absolutely love the story of Ruth. I think, as I'm thinking about it, she is nothing and becomes everything. She loses everything and then gains so much more. And she stays the course, and she's willing to say no because she saw the value of thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. And where you will go, I will follow. And when you die, I will be buried beside you. That, the love that she shows in those words, just have always just grabbed my heart. I'm just going to go where you go. And then, she is a little gutsy too. She's a little gutsy too. When Naomi tells her, go where he's our kinsman redeemer, and go where he's harvesting, and then put your uncloak his feet and lay at his feet and say, will you Mm-hmm. Will you redeem me? Mm-hmm. Will you redeem us? Mm-hmm. That takes courage too.
Yeah, it does. So loyalty and faithfulness.
Yeah. And the work every day. And how, I was like, she was so, I guess it's, there's also part of me, I love the romance of the story. Hmm. You know, like Boaz is in the field and he's like, who's that? And then he provides for her. Mm-hmm. And she's gleaning and he's so kind to her. I think that kindness also mm-hmm. speaks
yeah,
to me.
He's like,
don't only come to my, he tells her, just come to my field. Mm-hmm. And then he tells his workers, leave a little extra.
Yeah.
And then she comes home with so much. There's so much in that story. There's so much in that story that tells us about Jesus.
Yes.
So much.
Yes.
That we, again, I'm just going to be by your side, Jesus, and you will take care of it all. Mm-hmm. And I will do, just like Esther, I will do what you ask me to do. And you will provide everything that I need.
You know, thinking of that story in terms of today and, you know, for you and me, for us, and thinking about everything we've been going through, you know, there's something, that whole idea of being faithful, mm-hmm. there, she gave up. I think we fail to think about how much she gave up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she could have gone home to mm-hmm. her people.
Mm-hmm.
So she gave up her land, mm-hmm. her comfort.
Everything
her
familiar.
People,
everything familiar she gave up.
Her religion,
yes.
right? I mean, she yep. this she's mm-hmm. not, this is not her comfort zone at all. She mm-hmm. gave up so much
mm-hmm.
to be loyal to her mother-in-law, mm-hmm. To stay in the family that she had joined.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Vowed to join.
Yeah.
And I think so many times right now we see us almost being driven by selfishness and yeah. our selfish needs.
Yeah.
To the point that that's more important than me being faithful to, you know, mm-hmm. to loving those that I've been called to love.
Yeah.
And it's more than just my mother-in-law. Right. It is her, right? But
right.
it's more than
right.
just that.
Right.
Yeah. And that faithfulness, being willing to give up something, being willing to be uncomfortable. Like mm-hmm. if we're all willing to mm-hmm. give up, be uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
be in, you know, how different would this world
right.
look right now?
And what... the what came out of that discomfort
mm-hmm.
was something greater than she could ever have even imagined.
Oh, for sure.
There's no way
for sure
that she would even imagine that she would be listed
that's
in
right.
the lineage of
that's
the
right.
Messiah.
That's right.
Where they don't mention women, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But right. again, here is, I mean, to your point of what you were talking about with Esther, only she could do that.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be her.
Mm-hmm.
Only Ruth could do. It was not Naomi's sons, and I don't know which one Ruth. It was not him that could do it.
No.
It was only Ruth that could do it.
What does that tell us about our God?
Yeah.
And honestly, how messed up we have become in our view of women in general.
Right.
My name is Carolyn Kendall, and what it means to be a godly woman. I think that is basically someone who is just actively seeking a closer relationship with God and doing everything they can to follow after God and hear his voice in their lives.
Hello, my name is Courtney Hodgins, and what it means to be a godly woman to me is exactly what Carolyn just said.
All right, so we mentioned some other. I wanted to talk about JL. I think that's how you say it.
I think that's how you say it, yes. Yes, you did.
And this is a really...
when we were talking before this, before we started, she was the first one that came to mind.
and it's a little gory.
Prepare yourselves. This is a
it yeah. is
it's rated a R for violence right here.
It really, really is. But, you know, certainly JL was not in any of my Bible story books.
No, definitely not. Even, yeah.
No, because how do you tell the story? It's not told in church at Children's Story.
Oh,
right?
Man.
It's probably
I think
even.
The boys might like that, it's, though.
It's maybe even avoided in sermons because it is
something.
Gory.
Yeah.
But this woman, I will just say she is a warrior who delivered all of Israel.
Again, a woman who delivers. Yeah.
And this woman, like, we're not talking baking cookies.
No.
Or even.
No, there wasn't a banquet involved in. Well,
oh, nope.
I mean, I think she did give the guy water or something. Water.
But this is not like, I mean, no offense to any of these other stories. Obviously, we love them. But like hanging a cord out and helping someone sneak away.
Yeah, right.
Right. In the middle of the night. Yes. There's no girliness about
no.
this story whatsoever.
None at all.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, she.
Yeah, what is it in Peter's that says a quiet and gentle spirit is how we women are supposed to, which we
she was quiet
because
he was asleep.
But and I want to say that what we think that means in Peter is not really what it means.
Right.
It means something different. But however, she was not.
This woman was not. When I first heard this story, I remember thinking, could I?
Oh, yeah, I don't think
like,
I could.
Like, would I? Would I be willing? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Yikes.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But in case you're wondering what we're talking about, you can go read about JL. It's in Judges.
Chapter 4.
Yes. And she delivers Israel by putting a tent stake through a man's temple and basically to the ground.
Yeah, like all the way through. When you think of how big a head is.
And what that took. That.
Gosh. I can't.
You couldn't handle that timidly. And think. Yeah. And this is what I kept thinking about was. She had to. If she was timid initially.
Oh yeah, she would.
Then
have,
she was
she
would dead.
Have been, yeah, exactly. She had to choose.
She
and
had
do
to yes
immediately.
Yes,
immediately.
And he was asleep, and she went in and put a tent stake through his temple into the ground, and it's very obvious. But it ends up delivering all of Israel. Like she
right,
knows.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's more to the story, and I just encourage you to go and read it. But JL, I love it though because I, with all of my being, believe. That part of being a godly woman is being willing to be a warrior.
Oh, yes.
A warrior.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And even that that story actually starts with a woman saying, because you don't trust God and you think just because I'm there, a woman who's there, then Israel is going to be delivered by the hand of a woman.
There's so much in this story about.
I don't want a man bash, but it's like,
no,
since you were not courageous, I'm gonna hand it over to a woman who is willing to be courageous. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is I do want to. I'm not man bashing at all.
No. I'm sorry. I'm going to leave it there.
Okay.
It's not man bashing.
No.
But it is acknowledging that when needed, women, God needs us to be warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine there is not a person, forget man or woman, there is not a person on the face of the earth that says, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. I can drive a stake through someone's temple while they're sleeping.
Yeah, unless they're
unless they're messed up. So, but a normal,
human being, exactly.
That's not going to be easy, no matter who you are. Physically, it's not going to be easy.
Right.
Right? That took some physical
strength
to be able to do that. But also mental strength.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's really incredibly remarkable on so many levels. But I think... Here, just like some of these other stories we've mentioned, though, the idea that to be a godly woman is willing to then take the spot that you are in.
Yes.
And take what he has given you and called you to do and believe he's going to give you the strength and the gifts and the things that are necessary for you to follow through with that.
Yes.
And she was like, all right, here we go.
Here we are.
And then she went all the way.
All the way.
Because she had to.
Because she had to.
But we need to do the same thing.
Exactly.
Be warriors willing to go all the way.
All the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Risk it. Put in all of our strength behind
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly.
Right? There's just so many things there.
She was, yeah. Yeah. So, all in.
All in. With all of our strength.
Yep.
And strength that he gives us. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand that all of the strength, all the gifts, all the wisdom, all of it is from him. Let's be, I'm not, that's not, anyway.
Not negating that.
Yeah. Right.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rachel Williams Smith. And to me, being a godly woman is all about being an empty vessel through whom God's love can flow to those who need to know him.
Hello, my name is Sarah Hill. I will be 24 next month, which is June. And to be a godly woman to me means that despite whatever trials that Satan throws at me, specifically as a woman, the struggles that I deal with, that I can always run to Jesus and that I can still remain pure no matter what sins that I have done or continue to do over and over again, because a lot of women struggle with different things and some of us struggle with the same things. And knowing that as a woman, we can run to Jesus and he can be our hiding place.
All right, Kim, anyone else?
Well, what about the woman who starts out believing something about herself and ends up, after an encounter with Jesus, becoming who he really created her to be?
I wish we had a name.
I do, too. I do, too.
And wish we had a name. But maybe not having a name makes her... No, I don't even know that I want to go there, but... I was going to say, makes it more plausible that she's, that we're all, you know, that we're all connected to that.
Yeah.
You know, that, but yeah, okay. So we're here, speaking of the woman of the,
we're talking
woman
about
at the woman at the well.
Yeah.
First of all, wells. There's a lot of wells.
There's
and
a
women.
Lot of, yeah.
Women end up at the wells, but this is the woman at the well who has the encounter with Jesus.
Yeah. And so protective and so guarded. Mm. And yet, when she's having that conversation with, she's not stupid. She's educated in, she's savvy. She knows, you know, about worship and you know, the strife between the Samaritans and the Jews and the, she knows. So she knows things. She's not an idiot. Mm-hmm. And she's so guarded. She's so guarded. Until... Slowly, Jesus just, you don't have to be guarded. I know who you are on the inside. You don't have to be guarded. You don't have to protect yourself from me. I know who you are on the inside. I also know what you've been through. Mm. And this is one thing that we, because the scripture is written in Greek, we don't understand, because Jesus was not speaking Greek. Mm-hmm. He was speaking Aramaic. And one of the things we don't understand, in the Aramaic New Testament, when Jesus speaks to her and says, go get your husband, there are two words for husband in Aramaic. Hmm. One is the husband that beats you, and one is the husband that loves you. I'm simplifying. Hmm. Jesus actually says, go get the husband that beats you. Mm. And she's like, I don't have one of those. No, you've had five. Five husbands that have beat you. Mm. And now you're so low that you're living with a man that you're not even married to. Mm. So when we think of that, and he's not saying, you know, the husband is better than you. He's not saying you're trash. Right. He's actually lifting her up and saying, no, I see your story. I see the suffering that you have. And when Jesus sees our suffering, and we see that he sees it,
yeah,
that changes everything.
It changes everything.
And then we are allowed, we are freed, that's a better word, to become everything that we were meant to be. And she goes back, head held high, screaming to the entire town.
Right.
Come. I found him. He knew everything about me. He knew everything about me.
Yeah.
All my, dare I say it, he knew all my crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I love about this too is because arguably you could say she was, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say it. I was I keep doing this. I'm sorry. We're really literally thinking through this. This is not
as
like
we go.
We
yes.
didn't prepare,
no.
pre-prepare for
no,
this
we
or
don't.
Anything.
We never do.
No, just it's a more conversation. Fun this way. Yes. But she wasn't like at least from the world's perspective, this was not a godly woman coming to have an
right.
encounter with God.
Exactly.
You know, with Jesus.
Exactly.
And yet she leaves a very different woman.
Yes.
Because he changes everything.
Because he changes
but
everything.
What I love about that is that, and then when she goes, she becomes like an evangelist.
Yeah.
Right? Like she
yes.
is, her testimony
yes.
is
yes.
loud and clear.
Yes.
And she tells everyone.
Yes.
Everyone. And.
And the whole city.
And the whole city
comes
like,
out.
So not only does she tell them.
But they
listen
to her.
They listen to her.
Yeah.
Now, just thinking about this practically, like if you or I had a great encounter with Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And we went out into our town and said, come.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but I don't have much faith that I would get the whole town to come.
Yeah.
So there is.
You know what?
Go ahead.
I have stood in church. Mm-hmm. And shared encounters with Jesus and had blank stares.
Yeah. So to me, this just, as far as being a godly woman and what that looks like, it is also about sharing our testimony. It's
for
about
sure.
the willingness to be, we keep going back to this word bold.
Yes.
But the willingness.
There really is a boldness in that.
Yes. To go back, this woman who was not of, you know, it's not like she was the profound leader of the town.
No.
It's not like she was the mayor. Right? He went and said, come on, my minions, come follow me. Right? She didn't have status.
Right.
But she had a testimony.
Yes.
And she had had an encounter.
Yeah.
And she wasn't the same.
Yeah.
And to me, for us, letting God, you know, having those encounters with him and being willing to let him change us and being willing to be bold and share
and
that.
Share
that's
it.
Part of being a godly woman.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Is to get out there and say, This is it.
This is it.
You need to see this man.
Yeah.
You need to know this man.
Yeah.
Because he knows me.
Yeah. And
he knew all of me. And he can know all the parts of you, too. Yeah. Yeah, I love her.
My name is Anna Grissom. 29 years old, living in Greenville. I'm a nurse. I think for me it is being a woman who is searching for a better relationship with Jesus. And constantly kind of working toward improving that relationship. Yeah. Spending time with him, prayer, and I love to sing, so a lot of the time it's also just singing in my house. Because I finally have a standalone home. I'm not in an apartment, so one of the things that has meant is that, like, I'll just turn on music as loud as I can get it and just sing to my heart's content in the middle of my living room. Learning who I am and part of that is learning who God created me to be. And that's been a big part of my, at least recently, like building that relationship has been part of, partly just figuring out who he made me to be and how I can better be that person. So.
I'm Lucretia Berry. And the question is, what does it mean to me to be a godly woman? My answer is simple, and that is to emulate Jesus. Like Jesus came as, you know, with the God essence in a human body and showed us how to do this, how to be both divine and human at the same time, how to manifest heaven on earth.
And I love, you know, Mary's also been one of those other Bible characters that women in the Bible that I have long loved.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't really identify with her, interestingly enough. No. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because one of the words that I think we have to put with her as a godly woman is a woman with a surrendered heart. Mm. Yeah. You know, like that is for sure one of the, you know, the main things that we see in her and in her story. And, you know, I've not been accused of being a woman with a surrendered heart. Not often. More like a stubborn one or a ornery one or a, yeah. But yeah, she was incredibly surrendered.
Yeah. I mean, that's, look what she surrendered to.
Oh, I know. I know.
She surrendered to everybody believing such yuck of her. Mm-hmm. And then that doesn't go away. That stigma of becoming pregnant before you are officially wed. I mean, she was betrothed.
Right.
But she carried that stigma forever. If Jesus carried that stigma, so did she.
Mm-hmm. There was a time in my life when I was very misunderstood for something that had happened, and lots of people, as in our community, believed something different than what was the truth. And it was really profoundly hard. The time it wasn't appropriate. It's still not been appropriate. Like I still wouldn't, you know, to correct people.
Right.
Because then it betrayed some other thing. So I just had to accept it.
Wow, that must have been
tough. And it was really, really hard.
Yeah, I bet.
Really hard.
I bet.
Yet it was, what I'm talking about is nothing.
Compared to
Mary. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. And her willingness, you know, to take, really to accept shame.
Oh, yeah.
And carry it for a lifetime. You know, just, all right.
For God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's that level of surrendered, you know, and willingness.
Yeah. Well, yes, there's this.
But I think you have to say the word willingness anyway, go ahead.
Well, you can be a wimp and appear surrendered because you're not willing, because there's no boldness in it.
Mm. Yes.
Her surrender was a bold surrender.
Right.
Whatever you want. I am the hand servant of the Lord. Do whatever you deem best. I mean, that's a different kind of surrender, because there's there's the doormat. I don't know how else to explain it. Mm-hmm. That can appear to be surrender. Mm. That's not. That's just fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas true surrender is going to be a very, again, it's that bold act. True surrender is a bold act and a willingness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. you know, she also didn't just completely hide from the world, because she went on, there were other children.
Yeah, she had more children. Yeah.
You know, she kept going. She was at the cross.
Yeah.
Right? She came to try to get him away at one point, but he wasn't.
Stop what you're doing, son.
Stunned. Yeah. You know, so she didn't just hibernate.
Yeah.
In shame.
Yeah.
She carried the shame, but kept going.
Yeah.
She was willing. Like, that's a willingness to, you know, that's not a wimpy.
Yeah. Every time you say that, all I can think of is Jesus did the same thing.
Yes.
Like, I know we're talking about women.
Yes.
But is that not what Jesus did?
Yeah.
Jesus carried the shame.
That's right.
On his back. Mm-hmm. And the willingness to do that mm-hmm. for you and me. Mm-hmm. How can you not want to do the same for him?
Yeah. Yep.
My name is Cassie Williams, and what it means to be a godly woman is, for me, is surrender. And that doesn't look like being a pushover or doing what everybody tells you to do, but being surrendered to the Holy Spirit's voice. And I think especially in this day and age for women, Satan is competing all the time for our attention, for getting us to put our worth in other things. So in order for me to be connected to God, that the act of surrender is huge.
My name is Erica, and what it means to be a godly woman to me is continually placing yourself in the hands of Christ, seeing others through his eyes, and recognizing that the trials of this life only serve to help others. If we understand that our pain was not caused by the God of the universe, but that he can use that pain for his glory.
Do you have any women in your, as you were growing up, or that would be?
Oh, godly women?
Yes, in the now, in your lifetime.
Yes, of course.
I figured.
Do you? Obviously, I think in many ways, my mother, my grandmothers, both of them. Outside of my family, Lynn Ortel, she is definitely been a mentor in my life, and really, it's not to take away in any way from my family, but as we were talking about on another podcast we recorded, there's something really profoundly important about people outside of our family who support a lot of the things that we learned, or some of us don't have the family, but even when you've been raised in a godly home and had, you know, other godly women who encouraged you and in your family, to have someone outside of that family structure also supporting, you know, that and encouraging you is really important. And, you know, as a parent, I'm so thankful for the people who were that for my children, you know, and, but yeah, Lynn Ortel, she, you know, from the moment I met her, she was encouraging and always, always pointing me back towards that relationship. And more importantly, she modeled it.
Yeah.
You know, that she is a godly woman in that all of these things that we've been talking about, you know, being surrendered and, you know, having encounters with him to hear about her encounters with him when she would share them. Beautiful and inspirational. And yeah, so Lynn Ortel. Yeah. And many others. I could go on, but yes, that, right. Yeah. She's right up there.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think my grandmother. Mm. I think Mrs. Greaves, my elementary school teacher, from grade 1 to grade 3. I think sadly, I'm going to cry now. Growing up in a home with lots of trauma sometimes does not afford the opportunity to be surrounded by godly women because there's so much fear and shame and hiding. Mm. So there were probably many. Oh, Mrs. Long. Yes. Now, there's a godly woman.
Who is Mrs. Long?
Mrs. Long was my best friend, Susan Long, in elementary school, later elementary school, like grade 5 through 8. Susan Long was my best friend. And Mrs. Long, Agatha Long, she just passed away about a month ago as we're at this recording. Yes, she would be. She was always singing. She was always talking about Jesus. I don't even. She would be one that spoke into my life or was a presence in my life. She didn't really speak into my life, but she was a presence in my life when there was a lot of trauma going on.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's really good.
What it means to be a godly woman to me is to saturate my life with his love and his word and to share it with others. And it doesn't have to be through words. It can be through actions, as he displayed so much in his walk with us. I just want to walk with the Lord in a way that is evident to other people. May it be so.
Well, we are in this podcast, we're going to be, Kim and I have just been having this conversation, but when you all listen to it, hopefully interspersed, you're going to be hearing what some of the other women that have been on this podcast think. I had someone ask me the question just yesterday, What do you hope for the podcast? And as we start a new year in this, you know, in doing this podcast, and this is all about being a godly woman, is that really the, like, I want to ask you, Kim, what do you hope for this Joy in the Weeds to be or do? Do you know what I'm saying? For, like, what's the purpose?
Just... maybe it's because of the things that are going on in my head and what we just talked about, but all I can think of is if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. Mm. I just want people to have and to know the Jesus that I have come to know in the last 53 years. Mm. Because he is everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that is the joy.
Oh, it is.
He is the joy.
He is. He is.
In the midst of all these weeds.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So what do you want?
Yeah, the same. I mean, I when I was asked that question, it was, I think, I'm trying to remember now how I answered it.
Well, you can answer it different today because we can have one thing.
But, you know, it, along the lines that just wanting people to know that and really experience, and I hope they experience it in listening, but that they can have profound joy no matter.
No matter.
And that is really only because of who he is.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you said, I mean, it is because of who Jesus is, because of our relationship and walk with him, and because of what he does in our lives as Christians, that we have an opportunity that others may not have, that others don't have, if they don't have that relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, because of what he's willing to do in that walk with us and, you know, sitting with us mm-hmm. when it's hard. Mm-hmm. Because this walk is not easy. Mm-mm. And never, ever does he say it will be,
right.
you know,
right.
This is not like a walk down Rose's Lane at Lake Junaluska in Waynesville, North Carolina, right? Like,
right.
it's not the Rose Walk.
Right.
This is pick up your cross, you know? Yeah. This is going to be a challenging time.
Yes. Yep.
And we live in an awful, awful world.
Yeah.
Where so many people who are listening, well, everyone, so anyone who happens to be listening, you know, is going through and has gone through or will go through some really challenging things. Mm-hmm. But, oh, glory be to God.
Yeah.
He, because of who he is, because he is the one who was at the well,
right.
you know, because
yes.
of all of
yes.
this, because,
yes.
because of who he is, we yes. can carry shame
yep.
and not have to correct people.
Yeah.
You know, and can just go and hold our head up yeah. and do. We can be bold. We can be warriors. We can put stakes through temples. By George. I'm gonna.
We can go before the king when we are not summoned. We can go before
right.
a king
that's
when
right.
we are not summoned.
And we can call out people for who they are.
Yeah.
When you know what I'm like,
we can drive a stake through someone's temples.
That's right.
We can glean in the fields and put ourselves at someone's feet and ask for what we need. Mm-hmm. We can do all things. Sorry. I didn't mean that, but I'm not trying to sound trite.
No,
that not the truth?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that not
and true? In the midst of, and while all of that is going on, we can have some joy.
Yes.
That's what I want people to know.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what should be, like, that's what should set us apart. It's what does set us apart.
Because the should.
Yeah, okay.
We don't should on ourselves.
What
the thing is, when we have it, it does set us apart.
It does set us apart. Yes, when we have it.
When we have it, it
That's
does
right.
set, and when we don't.
Right. And that
we're
and
not
what
set
is
apart.
The difference between having it and not having it? All comes back to that relationship.
Yes.
Because you can have knowledge.
Yes.
You can have understanding.
Yes.
You
yes.
can know right.
Yes.
And you can know wrong.
Yes.
But none of that will bring the joy
right.
that being in that relationship brings.
Right.
That's what I want people to know.
Yeah. What is it that Paul says? I just want to know Christ and him crucified.
Yeah.
Because that makes all the difference.
And know, I don't know if it's right there, but the word know, epigenosis, I think is
yes.
how it's said.
Yeah.
But it is like, it's not just... It's not
it's
just
intimacy.
To understand.
It's,
it is intimacy.
Because in
yes.
the Hebrew, mm-hmm. to know is yada, mm-hmm. which is the intimacy between a man and a woman.
Yeah, it's to really, it's
to
be
really
intimate.
Know.
And,
yes.
and it's experiential too.
Yes.
It's not just
yep.
an understanding of,
right.
but to know. And that is that knowing, that epigenosis, it's that knowing
yeah.
is what brings the joy.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is so true.
Yeah. So true.
And I hope and pray that, you know, this year, 2021, that we do a lot more, continue to do a lot more of that.
Yeah.
Just better knowing him.
Yeah.
Epigenosis. I think that's how you say it. I don't know.
I think so. It's good
I'm
enough.
Afraid Doesn't I might have it wrong, but whatever it is.
You say yada, it it's easier.
Yada. I didn't know that, Kim. You're much more of a scholar than
no,
me.
No, it's just because I like Hebrew better than I like Greek. Because Hebrew is more nuanced, so I like Hebrew
Actually,
better than
Greek. When I first learned about that word, it was actually relatively recently, and I went to visit Lynn Ortel.
Oh, did you?
And Lynn and Mike, one of the most beautiful things about them as human beings, when you're in their home, is, at least I really experienced it that week, was watching them, like they get up and they go to their places, right? Like it's early in the morning and they're in their places having their time with God. And anyway, I had gotten up and just gone to the bathroom, and I was going back to my room for my time with God. And I don't know if I went to get a drink or something, but Mike was there, and Mike's like, "Beth, I have to share this with you." And he was so excited. And I went out and he showed me this. I mean, he had Ellen White quotes, and he had the Bible out, and different verses and all this kind of thing. That's all to so share cool. with me that one word wow. and the beauty of what that one word really meant. But it is all the more meaningful to me.
Yeah.
Because it was shared by someone who was just bounding with joy
yeah.
about that word.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, yeah, it's really special to me. Well, Happy New Year.
Yes.
For all of our listeners, I just pray that this is a year
where everything that was lost, I'm going to interrupt you.
No, go.
Is given to you double. I hope that 2021.
We didn't talk about this ahead of time, so you can say no. We can cut it out. But
or not.
Would you be willing to have a prayer of blessing?
I would
be. You know, a prayer of blessing
happy to.
For all of our listeners and, for 2021.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Father in heaven, we just want to take a moment and acknowledge how wonderful you are.
Amen.
Jesus, our Savior, you are the joy of our souls. And Holy Spirit, we are so grateful that you move in our lives and that you wash us with who you are. As we enter a new year, we will leave the old behind and we will walk in newness of life, claiming the promise that today we are a new creature. And when tomorrow is today, we are again a new creature because you are forever making us new.
Amen.
And Lord, I know there are a lot of people who have lost an awful lot in 2020. I ask that you would reap in their lives a double portion of what they have lost. Just like you promised in Isaiah 61, that we will have beauty for ashes, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and that you will give a double portion of our inheritance for the shame that we have carried. Thank you. To that end, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. We would really love to hear from you, so please find us. We're on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Joy in the Weeds. You can also email us. Our email address is joy@carolinasda.org. That's joy@carolinasda.org. Now, we hope that today, as you navigate the weeds, you will also hold on to moments of joy.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.